Welcome to All About Business with me, James Reed, the podcast that covers everything about business, management, and leadership. Resettling into society after prison is a huge challenge, especially when employers are reluctant to hire people with a criminal record. Too often, talented individuals are overlooked, leaving skills and potential untapped and making them far more likely to reoffend. Today on All About Business, we're unpacking Reed's 2025 Prison Leavers Report, which reveals a significant drop in the number of employers hiring prison leavers since 2013. Joining me is Alex Head, founder and owner of Social Pantry, the UK's leading hospitality employer of prison leavers, to discuss why hiring prison leavers matters and how businesses can approach it. Well, today on All About Business, I'm truly delighted to welcome Alex Head, who's the CEO and founder of the Social Pantry, which is a catering business. I heard you go, yes.
That's right.
It's a fabulous catering business based here in London. And one of the things that's very special about it is that you employ lots of prison leavers, Alex. And I'm going to ask you all about that because our company, Reed in Partnership, has just produced a report. I have it with me, Employer Attitudes to Employing People with Criminal Convictions. And we were evaluating how attitudes had changed from when we last did a piece of research in 2013 to now in 2025. And concerningly, attitudes have moved against employing prisoners, prison leavers, and people with criminal convictions. And one in five employers say they would not consider someone with a conviction at all. So I've asked you here partly to learn about you and your business, Alex, but partly to learn about what it takes to successfully employ prison leavers. Let's start at the beginning. How did you get going and what do you do and how's it going?
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for having me. So I started Social Pantry 14 years ago. But prior to that, when I was young, I had a lot of energy. I had been expelled from school and it was over the summer holidays that my mum said, well, you better start thinking about how you're going to make some money. And I'd always had a passion for cooking and kind of being in the kitchen. So I actually printed out some clip art posters. I don't know if you remember clip art back in the day.
Yes, certainly.
And I put them around my dad's office and then actually people would phone up with their little sandwich order. So I'd make the sandwich, jump on my bike and go and deliver them. And that was a long time ago. And at that point, I thought,
So how old were you at this point?
Probably kind of 15, 16.
So you started out as an entrepreneur as a teenager.
Yes.
Your school career was checkered.
Checkered, exactly.
And you got on your bike, literally, as Norman Tebbit would have said.
Exactly.
To find some work.
Yeah. And, you know, naively at that point, I thought, what can be so hard about, you know, the hospitality industry? And now I know that it's definitely a challenging industry, but a brilliant one to be in as well.
But you started from selling sandwiches to where you are now, where you employ, I believe.
Prison leavers. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people, though. How many people?
At the moment, we've got kind of just over 85 full-time team members, which is brilliant. And there's three pillars to the business. There is our events catering. So where we're on list at lots of brilliant venues in London, from National Portrait Gallery to Roundhouse, Somerset House. And they do all sorts of events from kind of brand concepts to high-end weddings, high net worth individuals. And they do about 30 to 40 events a week. So they are a busy team, lots of logistics, brilliant menu planning, and we create, you know, incredible events. Then we've got our B&I arm to the business, which is office catering. So where employers are wanting to kind of pull back their teams into the office, obviously a way to do that is to provide a brilliant, healthy, nutritious lunch. And that's where Social Pantry and a number of law firms, tech companies, and kind of fintech companies where the employers are, as an employee benefit, giving their team lunches. And then we have our standalone sites. So we won Tower Bridge a couple of years ago. So we're the exclusive caterer at Tower Bridge, where lots of kind of corporates and private events get hosted in the two walkways, the glass walkways above Tower Bridge. So it really is stunning. And then we also have Mansion House, the Old Bailey, so Central Criminal Court, where we feed the judges every day in the judges' dining room. And we also have a couple of cafes there, one for the jurors, one for the barristers. And then we also have a restaurant and a cafe in Chelsea Design Centre as
well. So you're super busy operating a lot. Assuming that the prison leavers aren't welcome in the Old Bailey, is that right?
Sadly, I actually don't think they are.
Not that they shouldn't be, but imagine there are rules.
Exactly, but we're working on that. We're working on that, which is good.
No, because I remember we employed someone years ago who was a prison leaver. We wanted him to go back into prisons to talk to the young prisoners about why they maybe should think about changing their ways, and the rules changed and he wasn't able to do it anymore. He wasn't able to go back in, which seemed a shame because he was extremely persuasive and compelling.
Yeah, it's what you need.
Our data, which is interesting, shows that, as I said, one in five employers would immediately reject candidates with criminal convictions. And then compared to 2013, the willingness to hire people with convictions has dropped sharply, it says. So in 2013, 88% of employers were prepared to hire people with driving offences. That's dropped to 41%. And in 2013, 62% would hire people with alcohol-related offences. That's dropped to 27%. And criminal damage has dropped from 40% to 10%. So there's a real hardening of attitudes, it seems, from our research against employing people with criminal records or convictions. But we know that it's important to give people a second chance because it means they're less likely to reoffend. It's better for society. It's better for them. And when you commit an offence, I don't think that should mean that you're unemployed for the rest of your life. I mean, that's for me, not right. You've sort of found your own way to doing this. What made you think, I believe it's 10 years now since you started hiring people. How did that come to your attention? Why did you do it? And what did you learn?
Yeah, of course. Well, it started really organically. And 10 years ago, I was volunteering through a charity called Key for Life. And I went into ISIS prison and I met Ruben. And I was incredibly nervous going in. And I was just going in as his mentor. So
where's this prison?
This prison is next to Belmarsh. So it's a YOI, so Young Offenders Institute. It's called ISIS. And Ruben had been in there, I think, for a GBH offence. And he had just kind of lost his way. And ultimately, the charity were working with him behind bars. And on release, I was his mentor. So I went in to meet him. And that was my first ever prison visit.
So this was something you did as a sort of extracurricular thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we kind of, you know, I was definitely kind of, you know, a bit apprehensive going in, nervous. But on meeting Ruben, actually, that kind of dissipated. We, you know, we chatted, we bonded over giving up smoking and you know, a few little things that we kind of had in common. And on release, actually, we kind of, you know, I then was his mentor. So I'd meet him for a coffee and, you know, help him with a few things.
Is that a scheme that people can sign up to become a mentor of someone on release?
Yeah, they can. Definitely through the charity Key for Life. And I'm
Key
sure
for
there's
life,
a
if
Key for Life. Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
They're brilliant. So that's how I got into it. And then actually at the time, the founder of Key for Life asked me if I'd employ one of the other gentlemen that had been released. So at that time, I had 8 employees and I got them all in a room and I said, hey guys, how do you feel about working alongside a prison leaver? And they were up for it. So Suhail started and he was quite, at first, he wasn't that reliable. And I sat down with him after.
When you say wasn't that reliable, what do you mean?
So he was working as a kitchen porter and he wouldn't turn up for every shift, which we obviously, you know, couldn't kind of maintain that kind of employment. A, we're a small company and everybody had to pull their weight. But B, I couldn't afford to pay somebody that wasn't there or pay somebody twice. So I kind of said to him, look, this is your opportunity. Either get on board and make the most of it or don't, you know, quite
you
straight
were
down
direct
the line.
With him.
Yeah, exactly. And actually he kind of went away and had a think and then he came back 5 days a week. And loved it. And it kind of all went from there. And he stayed with me for 3 or 4 years. So he was a brilliant, you know, he was my first prison leaver to employ. And, you know, we learned lots as an employer over that, you know, over that journey. But he was a great success.
It's interesting that you asked the others first.
I think it's, yeah, I mean, obviously employing prison leave, it is a USP of social pantries. Having done it now for a decade, we're definitely quite forward thinking with it. And we have, you know, we have kind of led the way, which is really exciting. But I think it is important, you know, everybody starting social pantry, often they cite it as why they want to join social pantry in an interview. But, you know, it's common knowledge that you would be working alongside somebody that has spent time in prison for a conviction or
when you first did it, you consulted the team.
Yeah, totally. Because it was a small team and ultimately I wanted them to feel comfortable with it as well. Like I was completely comfortable with offering an opportunity. For me, if probation and the prison server, if they've done their time and the probation is saying this person's going to be released, why wouldn't we offer an opportunity? I also think in the industry, we've got very low barriers to entry in the hospitality industry. So for example, they could come having had no kitchen experience and they'll start as, you know, maybe within our logistics team, or as a kitchen porter, or if they've had some cooking experience, they might then start as one of the chefs. But, you know, we can onboard pretty much anybody within the industry. So for me, I suppose it felt like a really good opportunity. And a lot of them, they're charismatic, they've got transferable skills, that, you know, they can work hard, they're driven. So why wouldn't I look at that, you know, look at the opportunities that come with employing people that have got convictions?
Are there certain convictions you will not entertain? I'm just thinking in terms of what other people might.
Yes. Yeah. Think. So for us, yeah. So we wouldn't have anybody with kind of a sex offence. And that's just something that I'm personally not comfortable with. And that wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't expect anybody else to be comfortable with that. But, you know, other than that, we have kind of said no in the past when it hasn't quite worked for us or when potentially that kind of first interview hasn't gone well. But other than that, yeah.
If like me, you run a business or manage a team, you'll know how important it is to hire great people. Over the last 65 years, Reed has worked with thousands of businesses around the world, helping them to recruit and to grow. This is what inspired us to create Reed.ai, your new AI hiring agent. It's here to save you money, to save you time, and to help you get the right match. Whether you're hiring your first team member or your 50th, Reed AI is here to make it easier. Try it free for 28 days. Exclusively available during our beta period. Go to Reed.ai and get started. Reed.ai, your higher power. So there's a lot here that you've said that I think might be interesting to someone maybe contemplating doing this or wondering whether it's for them or their business. I mean, the first is the relationship with the probation service and the prison. So do you go into the prison to interview people first before they're released? And how does that work?
Yeah, so now having done it for a decade, I'm now in touch with a number of prisons and a number of kind of employment boards and prison that, you know, I've got enough contacts that they will phone me and say, I've got somebody coming out and I think they'd be great for Social Pantry.
But so they're thinking about you before.
Yes, and that might be because we've gone in and done an employment session behind bars or we've worked with the prison before or I kind of know them, there's a relationship there. So, but for somebody looking to do it, I would definitely partner with a charity. I think that's what really helped me back in the day. It's kind of, it then means you've kind of got a triangle of support. So you've got the charity, the employer, and you've potentially got the probation. And if you're lucky enough, then you've maybe got their family as well. So if it's a potentially, you know, a younger person coming out and they're moving back with their family, then actually you've got a lot of touch, you know, you've got some support with it. And the charities often will support you as an employer. So they might kind of bring them on their first day to work, which might be needed. They might meet them at the gate and organize for them to go into work the next day. So there's not too much of a lag period in between. But ultimately, you've also got somebody to phone and say, we've run into a bit of, you know, if there are any problems, you know, how should I approach this or what should I do
or
next?
Or help as an intermediary.
Yeah, it gives
maybe.
That, it just gives you that, I suppose it gave me a bit of confidence actually knowing that I had a brilliant charity there to lean on and ask any questions.
So what charities are particularly prominent in this space, in this work for people to contact?
So Key for Life were brilliant for us. We've also got a charity called Switchback who are very good. So I think they're good. And then I suppose it's also, I suppose it's probably working out what charity's local. I think ultimately for us, when the prison leavers, I suppose to kind of, you know, for us, it works well when they commute and when they live locally. So potentially kind of local charities and local prisons to where the business is based is definitely what I'd encourage people to kind of to explore.
So keep it as close as possible.
Yeah, I think so. I think any employee, you know, prison leaver or not, like a manageable commute is really important. It also means that their probation service might be close.
When someone leaves prison, I believe they're given a sum of money. Do you know how much it is?
I actually don't.
You don't? I don't think it's very much.
Yeah, I don't.
But do you have this issue where someone's left prison, how quickly do they need to be paid? I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a monthly payroll.
Of course. Yeah. There's lots of different things,
really.
There's
some things you can do to mitigate that.
There's lots of support that you potentially do need to put in place. Some prison leavers have somewhere to live, have a family to go back to and can start and they're completely off. And actually some do need a bit more support. So really as an employer, you've got to be understanding that they're coming out and they may be facing more challenges than, you know, your general employee. I think housing can be a bit tricky. So kind of, you know, ensuring that they've got housing is really will also play into the success of the employment. The other factor is probation. So ideally you want their probation kind of curfews or meetings to not be in the middle of the day. There's been a number of points where I've had to phone a probation office and say, actually, can we move this person?
It's lunchtime.
Exactly. Probation meeting to the end of the day. So really, you know, that can be helpful. But also they might not have a bank account. They might also not know how to kind of travel. You know, that commute might be a little bit challenging. So in the past, one of my team members has kind of done that commute with one of the prison leavers to make them feel confident. But yes, there's definitely kind of, you know.
Well, if you don't have a phone or a bank account, it's quite hard to commute, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really challenging.
Do that these days, it's true. Yeah. So you mentioned that, you know, sometimes you'll meet a prisoner or ex-prisoner and decide that person's not for you. What do you look for? What's your process? Do you interview everybody or do you give them some other forms of assessment? How do you decide this one's for us, this one maybe not.
Liam heads up all of our HR. He's our people director and he's fantastic. And before, prior to that was Sylvia, who was great. So we kind of, I suppose for us, yeah, it's about meeting them. It's about whether we have a role that we feel is suitable. It's about whether we have got, you know, kind of good management and good kind of structure within the kitchen or no, you know, the team that they're going into.
What is it about them?
So for them, yes, I want them to be determined. I want them to kind of, I want them to want it.
How do you test that?
So really by getting them to start. And that's what the challenge is, James. So you have to kind of just offer the opportunity. So for me, I'll often have gone into a prison, met with a couple of the guys behind bars and said, when you leave, come and see me and I'll give you a job. It can be as straightforward as that.
It's like a 2-week trial or something.
Yes. Yeah. It's always paid. They might do a work taster. There's a 3-day work taster that you can do. And that's through the Key for Life charity. They'll often send us people on work tasters. So that's if you've come out of prison, you might do a work taster with us in the hospitality industry. And you might do it in a couple of other industries. So it gives you a bit of a taste of what the industry would be. Yeah, and they're really successful. But ultimately, they just for me, they just have to be determined and able to work hard. When I kind of started, you know, I don't think you don't need any qualifications really to start in the industry.
Are you looking for people skills? Because I mean, a lot of hospitality involves dealing with people.
Yes, they have to be able to kind of listen. They have to be able to conduct themselves in a kitchen and they have to be personable enough to work within a team. It's also, we can upskill them. It's great if they've got some experience and they've worked in the prison kitchens or they've worked in the prison cafes, but having experience, yeah, but that isn't essential. We can also pop them in as a KP and they get kind of, they also get a mentor internally at Social Pantry, which helps. But yeah, I suppose.
Oh, so you give each person.
Yeah, we give them a mentor and interestingly, a mentor in a different department so that they've kind of just got a buddy in the business that isn't.
And would that be another prison leaver or non-prison?
No, that won't be a prison leaver. That's that'll be somebody else who, and effectively they take them for a coffee every month and just say, how are you doing? How are you finding it all? And then you've obviously got the HR support.
Have you got any people who've joined as prison leavers now in sort of leadership roles or senior management?
No, not at the moment, no. No. And I think I'm often asked about kind of what's the success of a prison leaver, but really it's case by case. For some of them, you know, staying a couple of years is absolutely brilliant. And that's a real success. Obviously, that's fantastic. And they, you know, if they go off to another, you know, employer within the industry, then brilliant. They've learned, you know, they love the industry. They've, you know, had an opportunity they wouldn't have had previously. But also for some of them, just kind of, I suppose, you know, coming for a 3-day work taste is a real success. So it really depends. And it can depend on kind of, you know, the challenges that they face in their home life as well. But yeah, success story totally varies.
I mean, every person obviously is different, but what sort of issues have you encountered where it's been less than straightforward? And
yeah, I think housing's probably the biggest one. I think that definitely can be a challenge.
How does that affect you though? So
ultimately, if they haven't got anywhere to live, then it's really hard. The chances of prison leaver or non-prison leaver kind of committing to a role and giving their all and being really focused is going to be really challenging. If they're kind of sofa surfing or staying with friends, effectively they haven't got anywhere to live, then that's obviously quite challenging.
So it's really important that goes hand in hand.
Yeah, really, you need housing, probation. Yeah, exactly.
And the support for that, is there for prison leavers?
There is, but it's if an employer can kind of, you know, support, then obviously that's great. And in the past, we have had to kind of support, but there are services in place. It can just be quite slow. I sit on the board of Wandsworth Prison on the employment board, which is brilliant. And actually housing is often cited as one of the challenges. So I think it's...
Have you had any conduct issues you've had to deal with?
Inside the business. No, nothing that's other than kind of, you know,
you're late. Than,
yeah, exactly.
You should show up for your shift.
Exactly.
So you haven't had any issues with theft or
no.
disputes or fights? No, I'm asking this because I think it's important that we understand as business owners.
Yeah, I think you have to place
what
your
the
trust
issues
in
are, and it sounds like it's been.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, they do need the additional support, as I said, with kind of that, you know, potentially the admin side of it, of helping, you know, a letter for the bank or an employment letter to prove for housing. But really, you have to trust them. Like, they've come quite a long journey since they've come out of prison. Like, yeah, it's often that I'm asked, like, you know, do I trust them? And you have to. For them to kind of go back and land themselves back in prison is
have any of them ended up back?
Yeah, one has for a driving offence. But over the
well, he's working for you at the time.
No, so
that's pretty small number then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so you've had
exactly.
a very high success rate of stopping reoffending.
I genuinely think, like with some of these, with some of the guys that I've met, the guys and girls I've met, if we hadn't offered them the opportunity, they genuinely wouldn't have had one. So I think we really have made a difference, and I can say that kind of quite passionately. But it's so important just to offer them the opportunity, and then it's theirs to roll with and run with and be brilliant with, or it's theirs to lose. And that's like anybody that you employ. You know, here are the tools. We're going to give you what we can. We're going to, you know, also like any employee, I suppose you have to kind of keep it interesting. So if they start as a kitchen porter, we do try and move them out of their role quite quickly. They all start on London Living Wage, but it's trying to kind of promote them quite quickly within definitely kind of improves retention. Otherwise they can't, you know, they can get a little bit bored, and it's a tough industry to be in if you're kind of pot washing.
Well, there's quite high turnover in hospitality and catering.
Exactly. Yeah, me and Liam actually were chatting the other day about with one of our prison leavers who actually he started on Rottle, which is released on temporary license, where he would come from prison every day. So we worked with the prison, and that's towards the end of his sentence. He'd be released every day to come and do his job and then go back.
Release on temporary license.
Yes.
So that's a good way to test someone out.
Exactly. So it's really successful. And the Rottle candidates we've had have been brilliant. He's now fully released, and actually we've just moved him within our kitchens. He's just moved to another kitchen just to keep it exciting and varied and keep him engaged. So we work kind of hard to give them every fighting chance.
So our report talks about employing people with criminal convictions. Your language is slightly different because you're talking about prison leavers. Yes. Could you just explain what your thinking is here and how that's different?
Of course. So Wandsworth is a prison that we work with, and they are a remand prison. For example, somebody could be on remand at Wandsworth Prison and then be released, but they've actually gone to trial and been found not guilty. So they are leaving prison rather than being an ex-offender. So we
they have many of the same challenges.
I mean, yes, ultimately they've spent time in prison, so they've lost their job. They've potentially lost housing. They've lost any support. They've had time away from their families. So yeah, if, you know, spending any length of time in prison definitely presents the same challenges.
And you also mentioned that you were on the employment board at Wandsworth. Yeah. What is an employment board in a prison, and how do people get involved with that if they're interested?
Yeah, the employment board. So sitting on the board is a number of key employees at the prison. And then there are some other business owners like myself or kind of business leaders. So we've kind of got I'm obviously representing the hospitality industry, and then there's a construction company.
And these are all from the local area, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, they are actually. And they're brilliant. Ultimately, we will try and work out how we can kind of make prisoners aware when they come into their journey at Wandsworth that there is opportunity. There's kind of training within the prison, and on release there is opportunity and support there. So it might be that there's employment workshops that we would want to get them involved in. We also will support by reaching out to other businesses to see if they've got opportunity to employ. Or, I mean, they recently had PwC went in and did an employment day. We might kind of run a CV writing workshop, but we're there just to kind of support and advise, connect.
What are the skills they can learn? You said there was some training opportunity.
Yes. Yeah. So there's interview techniques, which is really important. There's CV training. And for some of them, they kind of, you know, haven't potentially ever had a job interview or haven't ever kind of written a CV. But it's also finding out what they're passionate about. I know that there's computing as well. And then there's obviously kind of barber, radio.
These employment boards exist in multiple prisons, I understand. So other people in other parts of the country could get involved.
And I think I could be wrong, but James Timpson was kind of heading up the employment board, and it's now in a number of prisons. I need to kind of check this out, but I think he started it. He's now obviously an MP.
He's the prisons minister.
So he
should be all over that.
So I think now there's a number of employment boards, and hopefully it's kind of connecting and supporting, also linking in the charities, supporting the charities with the prison.
Because it's interesting, when your journey was sort of meeting someone else being suggested to you, and it's when you meet people that maybe some of these sort of barriers start to.
Totally. I honestly would challenge people that were kind of, you know, with your stats, I'd challenge the people that were saying no, that one in five employers, I would challenge them to come in and come to a prison and meet some of these, you know, some of these, in some cases, incredibly young men, and actually not want to offer them an opportunity on release. For some of them, it's definitely been a challenging start to life, and it's inevitable that they potentially would end up in prison. So.
So it's really important to be given a second or even third chance, I think.
Yeah.
Everyone has that right, I believe. And just come and see is a really good sort of message.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you'll be surprised, I think, is what you're saying.
Yeah, completely. And actually you might, and lots of them are charismatic. Some of them are, they're brilliant, some of them have got kind of brilliant personalities which work in some roles. And, some of them are, incredibly skilled, whether it comes to cooking or, other industries. These people have got skills, and they're transferable skills that could well work within businesses. On the outside.
So I'm just looking at the report. report here. Percentage of employers who have had representatives do one of the following. Only 22% have visited a prison.
There you go. Okay.
So 4 out of 5 really have not visited a prison. Been to a prison event or open day, just 12%.
There we go.
So this is really suggesting that you're onto something here. Work with a probation officer to support resettlement, 19%.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more that could be done just by being a little bit more curious.
Yes. Yeah. There's a brilliant charity called Only a Pavement Away, who do fantastic work with kind of obviously the homeless, but also prison leavers. They're an incredible charity. But, you know, their kind of mantra is that we're all only one pavement away from actually being on the wrong side of, you know, the wrong side of it. And I think when you realize that actually offering opportunity prevents reoffending and prevents, you know, if they have made, you know, if they have kind of done their time behind bars, you actually want to prevent it being really impactful for the rest of their lives. Like, why wouldn't we offer opportunities just to kind of stop the cycle? But I do think it's really challenging for them to find work. And I feel like, yeah, businesses of any size, if we can do it as a small business, you know, with tight margins and limited HR resource, then the bigger businesses definitely can.
So to get that right, I'm hearing you give these people a mentor.
Yes.
You give them a trial.
Yes, exactly.
So see if it's right for you, for them. Are there any other key things that people need to think about?
Yes, I think you need to have the understanding that, yes, I mean, I suppose for us, we might, for some of them, that they start and they crack on and that there's no issues. But if somebody potentially hasn't come in for kind of a day or two, rather than kind of saying, you know, where on earth were you? It's like, do you know what? Great, well done for coming back. Do you want to kind of, you know,
that's what you say.
Definitely, because
not where the hell have you been? Oh,
no, well, because otherwise,
change my management style.
Because I've learned.
Well done for coming back. I like that.
You've got to really, because I've got no understanding of what it's like to, you know, or what they're battling, and a lot of them have got, you know, they come out and they, you know, they've got family pressures. They might have a number of children, and actually them adjusting back in, they might well have been battling quite a bit actually, and actually kind of them realizing that you're on their side. I'm not probation. I'm not. You know, I'm there to kind of support and help. And if they're going to be brilliant and do a good job, then I will support. So I think there's the expectation of, I suppose you have to just, you know, maybe that gentle approach, you know, it is important.
Do they look a bit surprised when you say that? That's an old lag thing, so yeah. Well done for coming back.
I think it's just being like a caring, considerate employer that you're taking the time to be like, you know, what, you know, do you, you know, can you tell us exactly why you didn't come in? And often it's really valid reasons that are sensible. Yes, yeah.
And does that improve over time? You find things settle down and they sort of get into a routine?
Do. Yeah, exactly.
So that sort of understanding is really, that's the third element.
And I feel like if I was an employee, I was coming into you, I would, rather than being shouted at for why I wasn't there, I'd want a chance to say, like, actually, do you know what, this is a bit more than I thought it would be, or this, you know, it's just having that slight bit of empathy. So I think that's important. I think shouting at anyone's never a good idea. That's only going to get the worst
result. No, it's not, but kitchens are notoriously
we have like
sharp elbow places.
No, I've worked in some really tough kitchens before I started Social Pantry, and we have really, like, we call them kind of non-shouty kitchens, but they're very calm. We've got apps, you know.
You have non-shouty.
Yeah, non-shouty. Like, there's no kind of egos in there. Like, it's really calm. You know, our events kitchen, they're, you know, churning out 40 events a week. You know, that's pretty serious business. So it's kind of.
How do you achieve that?
With an incredible exec chef who's incredibly experienced and intelligent, a brilliant team, good communication, you know, and it's organized and it's a great place to work. And we've got, you know, female-led kitchen, you know, we have actually, without intentionally, we've got, you know, one of our main kitchens is female-led. So, you know, but it's
kitchens,
a really calm
house. How many main kitchens do you have?
Oh, I've maybe.
So it's not a female-led thing that makes it non-shouty.
No, but it's also, you know, it's great that, you know, it does potentially, you know, it leads to quite a calm environment. But yeah, we've maybe got 6 or 7 kitchens,
right?
With different numbers of team members in each.
But
yeah,
you've obviously set the tone from the top as the founder.
Yeah,
you want it to be. I mean, you've said that clearly.
Yeah, and I've worked in some kitchens where it was horrendous going to work. It was terrifying being 18 and going to work in these, pretty scary environments, just chefing. And it was intense. And I, you know, it was.
That's how you learn.
You learn how not to do it. Yeah,
it was not to do it.
Yeah, it was horrible. And actually, so for us, it's making sure that we're really approachable and that people can ask the right questions. And if, you know, the line managers understand. We've also done a fair bit of training with our team on how to manage a prison leaver as well. But often the mentor and their line manager will meet the employee behind bars if we can. So that's
quite a nice.
If you're
super busy and you've got a big, you know, whole lot of events, you've got to prepare everything.
Yeah.
And then someone doesn't show up. That's annoying,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes. And we're quite no nonsense with it. So we can be empathetic.
But you say thanks for coming back. But I mean, how many times do you have to say?
What we do is we allocate, it's called a charity place. At Social Pantry, we have our core rota. And then in addition are the charity places. So if you were leaving prison, you would slot into one of my charity places, which means you're in addition to budget. So we commit
if you don't
that salary.
Show up, it's not going to sink.
Exactly.
The ship.
I'm not going to be working 5 hours later that evening because you haven't shown up.
Yeah.
So I learned that by trial and error.
That's
what I learned.
So that's important to stress. So you create a bit of extra capacity.
Exactly. Because ultimately the team can't be, you know, it can't be the team's problem.
But doesn't that add to your costs?
Yes, it does. Yeah. And that's why it's great to get, you know.
But you're doing this out of the goodwill.
Yeah,
yes. Really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we create 3 charity places. And then I suppose sometimes they'll slot into a rota role within 3 months or maybe 6 months. But once they've shown that they're reliable and.
So the charity places for a defined period of time.
Yeah, it's just a defined budget ultimately that we kind of, will allow, because we don't want the team to be affected by anyone that potentially looks like they're going to be brilliant and then isn't.
Well, that sort of takes the tension out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
In a way.
Exactly.
Because the others can be supportive rather than having to carry the burden.
Yeah, and then sensible mentors as well internally as well.
Yeah. That's really helpful, because there's a number of things there that I think, if applied together, make it much more likely that this will be a successful experience.
Yeah. And I think don't be scared of it. Like, ultimately, meet the person, understand, I suppose the challenges with it. Speak to other employers like us at Social Pantry. Link into a charity, and they'll most likely be linked to a charity anyway when they're coming out. Understand their probation or if they're on tag, and then
if they're on tag,
yes.
Means
one time I was we had a staff party and one of the boys was like, I have to go, and I said, is it because you're on tag? And he said, no, it's because his party's really dull. And I thought, oh, no. I knew I had to allocate more budget. So I was like, oh, okay.
So you're straightforward.
Yeah.
Allocate more budget to the party.
Yeah, so you can tell them.
So this bit, when you say you're on tag, you mean he's tagged with
a... Yeah, they've got a curfew or...
They need to be at a certain time.
In a certain area. Yeah, exactly, in home. So, and I think just enjoy and enjoy the diversity within your team. And you'll know if it's going to work out quite quickly.
So you've been doing this for 10 years. Would you say it's improved your business?
Definitely. I think initially...
How's it helped?
Well, initially I wouldn't mention it to anybody because we were just trying to win business and, in a competitive market, I was just trying to create a brilliant hospitality company. And now actually I'm really proud that it's one of our USPs and it contributed to our B Corp. It's definitely
something... So you're
something, B Corp? We're B Corp. It's definitely something that we put front and centre when we do tenders. So fantastic that our tenders, for the old Bailey or Mansion House, they're government-run tenders, that we would have absolutely put that USP, up there with the other important selling points. And it's great that people are kind of open, they see it as a value for
so
sure.
So it's helped you win business.
It has, yeah.
It's helped
in
you
the
grow
last
your
few
business.
Years. Yeah, definitely. It's not been the only reason, but it has helped. And actually that's just turned out, I didn't embark on that mission because of that. I just did it because I thought
I'm
it
not
was
suggesting
a,
you did.
No, but as in it's quite a nice ROI,
but
basically.
But it's worth people understanding that it's been net positive.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely been positive.
It's not just been a bit of sort of ESG on the side.
No. And most of the team if you join Social Pantry, you'll go and visit a prison within a year of being with us. And they find that
everyone who works with you.
Yeah, they find that really eye-opening. So, and then they enjoy being a mentor.
What do they say about that?
So the last time I took some of our event planners, so these girls obviously kind of plan incredibly high-end events and brilliant events.
Lots of weddings and parties.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And in some incredible London venues. And then for them to be kind of, I took them to Felton Prison.
As a young offenders prison.
Yeah, so we ran a cafe there for a year. So one of my, we paid the salary of a team member behind bars that worked for Social Pantry, and we opened up their staff hub. So they would work with the inmates. It was brilliant kind of initiative, and it's still running now. So, yeah, so they came to see Feltham. I think they were, yeah, I suppose like anybody, kind of quite shocked at how young they are.
So how young are they, the people?
So Feltham, they've got Side A and Side B. And Side A, if I'm correct, are really quite young boys that are all in for very long sentences. So they all just go straight onto adult prison. So they might be 15 or 16 and in for, you know, 30 years. So that's really incredibly sad. But Side B is where we had the staff hub and the lock mess, as the prisoners named it, and the lock mess.
So these are people who are going to be released.
They're all going to be released, exactly. Sooner. And the idea was on release that they would come and work at Social Pantry. And yeah, we had one gentleman that did that, which was great. But the girls, I think they, having not seen a prison before, you know, I suppose it's always quite eye opening. But meeting the guys, you know, I suppose they come out having, probably wanting to help is the biggest thing. Mm. These boys are quite engaging. You know, they want to kind of change their lives. They're determined. You know, it's incredibly sad seeing some of them in there. I mean, not saying they shouldn't be or condoning their crime at all, but I think understanding that the challenges that the boys have behind bars potentially makes you, understand, you know, your employee better on release.
Yeah. And you know, once a sentence has been served.
Exactly. They're going to be released into society.
They're going to be in society. So it's better, I think, that they're doing something positive.
Yeah, we can definitely keep them busy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I'm just going to have a look at some more of the sort of details of this report, which I think is concerning because, I mean, it seems like for every category, people have become less tolerant of
giving people
an opportunity. And I don't know, why do you think that is? I mean, why is it over since 2013 to now that companies have become more averse to giving people a second chance or hiring an ex?
I mean, I can only kind of talk from our experience, and definitely for us as an industry, like it's quite challenging. So something like, you know, where it's become more expensive to employ people, that then limits our kind of charity places that we can open up and the amount of people we can employ. So when
it's more expensive now to hire people.
Exactly. Yeah. So people aren't really, you know, with the, you know, recent budget, it is incredibly difficult. So
I know. So you're talking about, let's be very specific, the Employers National Insurance, which then was made on lower paid people. Especially has made it harder.
Yeah, definitely. And costs have gone up across the board. It's not just the cost of our team. It's the cost of all of our, you know, our brilliant suppliers have put their costs up. So if the landlord, you know, there's costs across the business that have then increased as a result of it. And that does have an effect.
So one thing you would say is because business is under more pressure.
Yeah.
There's less room for these charity places.
Yeah, I would say from my experience, that's exactly why.
Or maybe taking a risk where you wouldn't.
Yeah, or haven't got capacity to potentially kind of put the right systems in place or the right budget or the right people to kind of, you know, support it. And actually maybe there just isn't that.
Another thing we noticed is there's a lot more employees using the DBS checks or disclosure and barring service checks, which is a way of asking about somebody if you're about to hire them. And it seems like the number of jobs that require those checks has grown in number.
Yeah.
Is that something you're aware of? Or
no, not yet.
So I suppose you don't do those checks, do you?
Yes.
you're not worried about that.
Yeah.
It says that DBS checks have become, you know, they should not be used as a pass-fail mechanism. Okay. So I suppose people are doing these checks.
Yes.
Comes up, someone's got a record of some form and they fail.
Yes.
Well, it shouldn't be. It's saying they should provide opportunity for employers to appropriately assess and manage any risk. So that's saying it might be the report's suggesting in our reflections that should be the beginning of a conversation, not you're off the list.
Yeah.
So I mean, I suppose it's important to know what the offence was, as you say.
For us, we do checks. We also don't disclose. Yeah, so for us, sometimes it's very clear when they're a prison leaver when they start, but sometimes it's not.
So you don't tell the team?
No, we don't tell the team. It's all private,
personally.
Yeah, but it'd be down to you whether to tell the team if you wanted to.
As a
prison leaver. And because really it's a fresh start for them. But also the crime we wouldn't disclose. There's like a nuclear team at Social Pantry that know what the crime was.
So there's an HR group.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, to check that Yeah, I think for our insurance, we're not allowed to employ people with arson. That's another one. Yeah.
So
that's a crime that we would say no to. But we keep it confidential because ultimately
Do you find that the prison leavers do share it, or do you think
it totally depends on the character?
So some do and some don't.
Yeah, some are completely fine with it, and actually some you just want to crack on and put it all behind them and don't really want other people to know or to be asking any questions.
Years ago, a colleague of mine who I was extremely fond with, he told me that he'd been in prison for football hooliganism.
Oh. How did you feel?
he'd been in the Birmingham Zulus or something. And I was sort of amazed.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it didn't make me think any ill of him because he'd done an extremely good job for us. And this was in his youth. He made a mistake.
Yeah, so that's somebody that's really gone wrong with their second chance.
When he told me this, you know, he was a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
And, I just thought it was interesting. So whoever hired him in our business, he said knew this.
Yes.
I didn't know it. As the managing director or whatever I was at the time. I didn't know, but people who hired him knew this. He'd had the conversation and they'd said, okay, just come in and get on with it and give
you a...
And it worked really well. And he was in our sales function and won us masses of business.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Because as you said, some of these people are very charismatic.
Yeah, completely.
So he was one of those.
And some of them have been very good salesmen in their, you know, drug careers. You know, they're not.
Yeah,
you know,
no. Well,
they're
there are lots of crimes that involve selling. Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Exactly. So, they're definitely
transferable
skills.
Is what you're talking about here.
Yes, I went into the kitchen recently, and one of our team members was kind of weighing out these arancini, and I was like, "Oh, how are you getting on with that?" And he's like, "I can use scales. Don't you worry. You knew that about me." I was like, "Of course. Gosh, sorry, I forgot that you were in for some quite impressive." Drug dealing,
I remember talking to someone.
Yes, but obviously not a high like that. But that does make you laugh, and you just think, yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well,
that was me thinking of, you know.
I remember talking to someone who just reminded me who we'd found a job working on railways in maintenance crew at night, and he'd been an armed robber and serious, you know, robber. And so I said to him, how are you finding working nights? And he said, well, I've always worked nights. Which I thought was quite
just
nice.
On the right side of the tracks.
On the right side. And he went on to be really, became the manager of this team. So, I think to make your point.
Such good examples that actually, if you give somebody that second chance, then they can just roll with it and they can have a successful career.
Well, that's so positive. So where next for your business?
Where next? So we're on a nice little growth trajectory at the moment, which is good to hear. Yeah, exactly. So we most recently won the Old Bailey and Mansion House contracts. So we're going to put our hat in the ring for a few more tenders.
So the Mansion House is for the Lord Mayor of London,
isn't it? Exactly, yes. He lives there, yeah. So
So what do you do for them? Events, I suppose.
So we won a five-year contract.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And didn't you just win an award? Can't you tell us a little bit about this?
James,
so what was your
you
award?
Asking.
Go on, please share, Alex. Who did you meet just recently?
We did. We won a King's Enterprise Award.
Enterprise Award.
Yes, and we won it for offering opportunity. Yeah. So which fell within their sustainability category. And actually, we were only one of two businesses in London that won.
One of only two.
Yeah, so there was.
So there's a lot of opportunity for other businesses to win the King's.
But it's a UK based award,
right?
And there was the categories were sustainability, innovation, and international trade, and we obviously sit in the sustainability category. And I think there's 100 winners from each category, but obviously only two in London. Which is great. So it was really nice to be recognised.
So you met the King?
I did meet the King, exactly. Not that recently, had a baby and you had to go on your own. So off I went to Windsor Castle.
To Windsor Castle.
Yeah, have you ever been there?
A long time ago,
It's amazing. It's wonderful. So it was brilliant. It was really good. Had a nice chat with the King. And there was a few other royals there. So Princess Anne and Edward was there, and it was great.
There's a whole crew.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole crew. It was fantastic. So we chatted about it. It was great.
So the King's Enterprise Award is every year, is it? Just
it's great award, and we're privileged that alongside some other brilliant businesses that got awarded. Yes, so I think we retain it for 5 years. I think I could be wrong.
Oh, did you get a sign you can
put
on? We
got a plaque, and then that got presented to us yesterday at HQ, which was great. So we had a little, you know, celebration of it.
So but where's
it
was HQ not,
in Battersea, where we've got kind of our catering units and warehouses. But it was great. It was really nice to be recognised for it, actually, because we haven't
kind deservedly of, so.
Yeah,
I think
brilliant.
What you're doing is really positive. Could I ask the people who join? I mean, one of the things in our survey is that people with previous convictions often, when they get a job, show more commitment, more resilience, and are often more trustworthy, which might surprise people, than the sort of average person. Is that something you have found? Or
yeah, I mean, ultimately, when they join Social Work, we have to give them the level of trust. And I think, yeah, I mean, we haven't kind of had any real issues with our prison leavers or with our team members. But I think maybe giving them that trust rather than them kind of having to earn it as such, I think definitely kind of worked for us. So there's various things that they're exposed to. But I think, yeah, James Simpson actually did a brilliant video where he is on YouTube, and he talked about all of his prison leavers. Obviously, it's the key cutting business, and they have prison leavers that operate the cash, and they show them exactly how you could, or how they know, I think is what he said, how they know how they, if they were to take money out, or they show them how they could do it. So they're like, you know, if you were to do it, this is how you do it. And actually, by giving them the trust or showing them how, actually, it's that slight reverse. Why would they lose the opportunity they're being given for something so minimal or so small? And also they you know, sometimes they've come on such a long journey that to go back a number of stages would really cause issues, or, you know, either put them back behind bars.
So that's underlying the point that they often are more trustworthy.
Yes, I think so. I'd have to kind of ask the team. I know that when we surveyed our team, they really enjoyed working alongside prison leavers, and
haven't seen anything to suggest they're less trustworthy.
Exactly.
Least,
yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Baseline.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah, okay. One of the things I've often thought is prison leavers might be well considered to be self-employed. Because you're not then having to get someone saying, yeah, you're okay. Or, I mean, you can just set yourself up as a business.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
So for us, they start on payroll. We had a lovely guy who actually, when he first got paid, thought he'd been robbed. And I had to say, no, this is tax. And I said, that's tax. And that's what keeps some people behind bars. Like, and he was just like, okay, I get it. So like,
well, that's one view, I mean, it's not voluntary.
So he kind of, that for him, he was kind of like, right, okay,
I wasn't thinking of the difference between payroll and being sort of a contractor. I was just thinking, starting your own business, sort of starting a catering company like you did, or
why not
starting a carpet cleaning business or a window cleaning business, or all sorts of things.
Yeah,
that's quite a gives people other more options.
Yeah, totally,
I suppose.
Totally. And I feel like if so many of them are ambitious, it's just brilliant. And sometimes people have started with us and then gone on to do their own thing, and it is brilliant. Ideally, they've kind of got the right experience and can do it successfully. Otherwise, it's probably quite challenging. But yeah.
Very good. So what message, just to sort of pull things together here, Alex, what message do you want to give our listeners or entrepreneurs, business owners, or maybe HR managers to consider here?
Yeah. So I think it's really important that, that you at least explore it and at least think about it, not only to kind of reduce reoffending rates in society, but often, also to offer an opportunity to often quite driven and charismatic and, hardworking people that need the opportunity. It also diversifies your workforce in a brilliant way. And then, fine, if you want to do it to tick the ESG box, then you can also do it for that as well. But I think if you went on the journey, you would genuinely enjoy it, and it would give you a totally different perspective, which is often very beneficial. But Social Pantry are going to launch actually later this year, which is very exciting, a networking kind of group where we ideally will kind of pull together charities and HR teams and our experience as well. So
fantastic.
For any businesses that kind of want to understand a bit more, then come along to one of our sessions, and we will kind of introduce you to charities and network and other businesses that are doing it and other businesses that are doing it brilliantly. Because I think if we're all in it together and all trying, then we genuinely can, we can have more impact, enjoy the journey together and make
share
a difference.
Experiences, as you have been today. So that's really good. How do people find you then if they want to join this group?
Socialpantry.co.uk or you know, drop us an email to inquiries at socialpantry.co.uk. And then we'll pick that up. And our brilliant Liam, who, you know, heads up our kind of, you know, people's team, will be in touch and send more details. But yeah, it is more accessible than people think, and it's definitely worth it.
And it sounds like there are lots of other organisations out there you can reach out to, whether it's charities or probation service.
So yeah, exactly.
We'll get you started in some way.
Yeah, totally. And what's the harm in trying?
Completely agree. What's the harm in trying? Let's leave it there. So I'm going to ask you two questions, yes, which I ask everyone at the end of my podcast. Alex, the first one is, what gets you up on a Monday morning?
Oh, gosh. What gets me up? So, deliver incredible food, make memorable events, and to do it whilst making a difference.
That sounds very
good.
Spot on. And my last question is, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Oh, hopefully having employed and helped many more prison leavers. Hopefully we kind of, you know, still pioneering with it, you know, just as involved in prisons, and hopefully with a bigger business and more, you know, bigger brand and bigger influence to do it with, I hope. Hopefully still in business.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I hope so too. And I wish you every success and continued success with that. I think that's a great ambition. Thank you so much for coming in to talk to me. I've really learned a lot in this conversation about how to approach what I think is a really important issue, and giving people a second chance, I think, is an obligation, actually. So congratulations on your award, which I feel is richly deserved. Thanks a lot.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex, for joining me on All About Business. I'm your host, James Reed, Chairman and CEO of Reed, a family-run recruitment and philanthropy company. If you'd like to find out more about Reed, Alex, and Social Pantry, or if you'd like to see our report, all links are in the show notes. See you next time.